Alrighty, so we are picking it up at Parshas Yisro, and Parshas Yisro obviously is famous for Matan Torah, one of the two Parshiot that contains the revelation at Sinai, one being Parshas Yisro, the other one being Parshas Va'eschanan. Definitely noteworthy to point out that Parshas Yisro literally is called Yisro after a man who's Moshe's father, right? Who unclear what his status is, but we attribute to him the notion that he's the first ger, the first convert in Judaism, came to be a part of the Jewish people, came to convert. And why is that a big deal? Because the Har Sinai process actually was also a conversion. And the idea being that Matan Torah was a conversion process, right? Where the Jews were the quote children of Jacob, of Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Zarah, Rivka, Rachel, Leah, the people who left Egypt. Were they Jewish? The answer is they weren't Jewish yet. They were a tribe. They became Jewish at the mountain, right? Even Moshe, sounds very controversial, but even Moshe wasn't Jewish, right? He wasn't Jewish until he was there at Har Sinai. And the Sinai experience, both mechanically and theologically, were conversion ceremonies, conversion rituals, conversion experiences. So therefore, it makes sense that the Parsha where the Torah is given is called Parshas Yisro, named after Jethro, Moshe's father-in-law, who indeed, according to tradition, does convert. It's also interesting to note that if you fast forward to the holiday of Shavuot, right, which commemorates all of this, that we read from Parshas Yisro, and then we read the book of Ruth, right, Megillat Ruth, which is again same idea. She's the first female convert. Oh, sorry, it's here. I think it's an important lesson for us to look at every person, whether they were born Jewish or they converted and joined the faith as a fellow Jew, because all of us, I think that's the lesson, all of us fall into the category of being converts. Okay, so with that understanding, I want to jump right in to a really famous medrash, but obviously every medrash is based on a pasuk, based on this really interesting pasuk. So here we go. Second. Okay. So, Vayotze Moshe Et ha'am likrat ha'Elohim. So Moshe went out to the people. Vayityatzvu likrat ha'Elohim min ha'machaneh. Vayityatzvu v'tachtit ha'har. And they took their places at the foot of the mountain. So again, this is a very famous pasuk, and it speaks to the fact that the Jewish people. As much as we like to look at this and say this was so beautiful, and we were willing and we wanted Na'aseh v'nishma, we were all in, and we jumped up and we said, what do you want and how do you do? It's actually not so clear, right? There's all this in the pasuk before it, you see it's there's kolot u'brakim, there's thunder and lightning, there's a thick cloud on the mountain, you hear a kol shofar, it's like a sound and light show, everyone is trembling, and the people are standing or sitting or whatever kind of placed at the foot of the mountain, betachtit ahar. The problem with this is it should say that they're near the mountain, right? They're at the base of the mountain. It shouldn't say tachtit. What does Tachti tell me? Tachat, says the Medrash, right? Under the mountain. That the people are somehow under the mountain. V'har Sinai Ashan Kulo Mipnei Asher Yarad Alav Hashem Ba'esh, and the mountain is smoking, and it's just this incredible spectacle. Hashem comes down, and the whole mountain's trembling, and the people are somehow, some way under the mountain. Oh, welcome to a bar mitzvah boy who's on his way, Mirtz Hashem, to becoming a bar mitzvah, Eitan Kleinhaus. Glad you're on this, on the shir. Vayitiyatzu v'tatid ahar. So look at the Kli Yoker. Mikan lamdu rabbeinu zal. From here the rabbis teach. Shekafa aleim har kigigit. That God took the mountain and placed it over their head like a gog, like a gigit, it could be like a roof, or they say like a barrel. Like a barrel, literally a barrel over, we're holding you over the barrel, right? But the barrel's over your head. And God's gonna drop it on them. Lomar, she'im lo tekablu haTorah, sham tehei kiburatchem. To say that if you don't receive the Torah, here is going to be your burial place, right? You're gonna die here. Meaning here, God takes the mountain, uproots it, puts it over them, and says, yes, it's very nice and sweet, and we love you, and we love the Torah, and we want the Torah, and we're taught that when we're in second grade, we want the Torah, and we love the Torah. No, you have to keep. You have to accept the Torah. It's very nice that you love it. You have to accept it. V'ravacha bar Yaakov Omar, and Ravacha bar Yaakov here in the Gemara Shabbos says, Mikan moda rabba le'oraisa. This is a huge issue for the Torah. A huge issue. Sheicholing Yisrael Lomar Anusim Hayinu. Because the people could say, the Jewish people, based off of this medrash, can say, we were forced. Anusim Hayinu. We were forced to receive the Torah. We didn't accept it willingly. We didn't want it. The people could say, hey, you know, we never asked for this. So that, you know, if we were to get punished for not keeping it, they could say, God, we never wanted it to begin with. You forced us. Don't you remember? You took the mountain. You put it over our heads. Interesting. Anusim. Anyone here from Spanish heritage on the line? So what are anusim? That word anusim is what we call the Jews in Spain who were living during the Spanish Inquisition and were the auto de fe happen, right? They're put, you know, in front of everyone, and you know, the priest says, convert to Christianity or die, or we're gonna burn you at the stake. And they said, okay, fine, I convert to Christianity, but they really secretly were, right, the Muranos, that's like Murano Jews, in the Hebrew term for them are Anusim. Why are they called Anusim? Because they're forced converts. They're not real converts. They're forced converts. And to this day, you'll find people, to this day, you'll find that there are people say, hey, I remember my grandmother, she would light candles on Friday afternoon. Never understood why. And she would go into the closet to light them. She would never light them outside. Like, what are you talking about? Because that's what they were taught. That's what her parents taught them. And that her, and that's what her parents taught her. And that's what their parents, why? Because they were taught, oh, you know, in Spain, you know, they converted, quote, converted to Christianity, but they didn't really mean it, outwardly converted, but inside their house, in their closet, they lit the Shabbos candles, or they lit the Hanukkah menorah, right? So here, we could say, Anusim Ayinu, we were compelled, we were forced, not our fault. So, Eina Perush, says the Kli Yoker. It's very problematic. This whole medrash is very problematic. We were forced to receive the Torah. In a perush ratz Hashem unsum, kedei she'yelohem piskom peh. There's no way that a God wanted to force us to keep the Torah, force us to receive the Torah, so that one day we could open up our mouths and say, you know, hey, it's not our fault. Come on, you know, you forced us. Dim kein kishachazer akola umos. Because in the same vein, when, according to the Medrash, right, Hashem goes to the Ishmaelites and he goes to the children of Esav and he says, hey, you guys keep the Torah, right? And they say, oh, what's in it, right? Well, you can't steal, right? B'nai Esav, right? And they're like, oh, no, what's in it? Oh, you can't murder. Okay, forget it. According to this, Why didn't Hashem just force them to take the Torah? And if they wanted to say, oh, you forced me, I didn't realize, it's not my fault. Why didn't Hashem just compel them, just like he compelled the Jewish people? So something's off about this. Ve'od hari kvar kiblu Yisrael miratzon. He says, plus, the Jewish people already received the Torah. That whole Na'aseh v'nishma thing is a real thing. The Amru kol asher diber Hashem Na'aseh, they said that everything that God said, we're going to do, we're in. They were excited. So why did Hashem have to compel them? Why would he force them? Why would he take the mountain, put it over their heads? It's another question in the time of Yechezkel, of Ezekiel, where the Jewish people are sinning. So, you know, they said, we don't want to keep the Torah anymore. You know, we don't want to be Jewish anymore. Hashem says, I'm going to like throw my wrath upon you and I'm going to rule over you. What do you mean? Again, if they were forced to keep the Torah, to receive the Torah to begin with, how could God force them back to keep it? Like, again, they could just say, hey, it's not, you know, we never accept it. Think about till our day and age. What do you mean, Dad? Why do I have to do this, Mom? What? Continuity of the Jewish people? I never asked for this. Right? It's like the worst. The worst, like, you know, it's the question that's like, you know, the most dreaded question that any Jewish parent wants to hear. Why do I have to keep this stuff? I never did it. I never accepted. Oh, your parents said that's nice. You do it. That's nice. But why do I have to? What does it matter to me? Right? We were forced. Okay. So it has to be a willing kind of experience. So how do we understand this concept of Hashem held the mountain over their heads? So he says it has to be that there was a beneficial reason for why Hashem took the mountain and put it over their heads. You know why? It's to say that as long as we don't have Torah in our lives, Ariella, I don't see you. As long as we don't have Torah in our lives, re'u shekol zman she'ein atem mekam haTorah, hare atem chashuvim kimesim. It's as if you're dead. Your life is over. A Jew without the Torah? What are you? Who are you? What are you? Gam dechayechem uvimotchem. In your life, what's your life? How is your life going to be meaningful without Torah? How? It'll be as if you're dead. What's a Jew without Torah? You can't have one without the other. Gam and ubimotchem, and in the next life. Don't you believe you have a neshama? How are you going to nurture your neshama? How are you going to nurture your soul? How are you going to engage in spirituality in this world and have an afterlife in the next world? You'd be dead. Hashem is telling them, guys, this is a really good idea. Trust me on this one. Ein lachem shum hisharut. You have no staying power. There's no reason to live. What's life? Life's meaningless. Think about it now in the pandemic. They talk about how in the pandemic, time doesn't count. It's like time. We just go from one day to the next, because we're not doing anything, right? We're home. We're home for the most part. All right, we go to the store. Yeah, we do this, we do that, but it's not like it was. And they say like we're in this like sort of epoch of time. But you know what? We as Jews, we're not stuck. We have Shabbos. Think about a time in your life where you didn't live more from Shabbos to Shabbos than now. Because Shabbos is the only day of the week that's different, where we don't have the Zooms and we don't have Netflix and we don't have our phones and we have Kiddush. And we have a meal. And it's, by the way, just with our families, right? We're not with anyone else. It's really an incredible thing. Imagine what life is without that. It's hard to imagine. El Hashama tekvuratchem meitzim bal yichyu refaim bal yakumu. Vayedea Torah yu chayechem chayim b'zeu b'va. And through Torah, you will have a life. You will have a fulfilled life, a meaningful life. Right? You're engaged. You're surrounded by your community. You're connected to your community. Chaim b'zeu b'va. In this world and the next world. Basically saying like, Hashem didn't want to force us to receive the Torah. He didn't want to like compel us, right, to overrun us and say you have to receive the Torah. However, it turns into something negative that, you know, later on you'd be like, oh, you know, well, we didn't really want this to begin. No. This is a part of who you are. And we'll get to this a little bit more soon. And at the time of Achashverosh, thinking about Purim, the Gemara says, Kiblu Mashikvar Kimu. There's a pasuk in the Megillah that says, Kimu v'kiblu ala Yehudim. The Jewish people, Kimu, they kept, they like observed, and they received, and they accepted. They kept it and they accepted. The rabbis are like, what do you mean they kept it and they accepted? We accepted the Torah already. Why are you saying we accepted the Torah in Purim? And the rabbis say, no. It was the time of Purim where the Jewish people actually received the Torah willingly. There was no mountain over their heads. You know what the Jews could have done if they didn't, you know, there's a decree of death on their heads, right? And they're all going to get killed in all of, you know, basically the whole Jewish world. What could they have done? They could have just said, you know what, like in the Spanish Inquisition, we're not Jews anymore. They could have just here taken their yarmulkes, throw them away. I don't want to be persecuted anymore. I'm done. I'm out. Right? A lot of people in after the Holocaust, you have Jews who did that. And I can't blame them. Right? They came out and they said, I just went through hell and back for being a Jew. I'm moving to America. I'm becoming a Christian. And I'm not going to tell anyone about where I come from or who I am. And we know what happens in those cases. Most of the time, towards the end of their lives, they're like, how could I do this? How could I forfeit my Jewish heritage? And they tell their kid or their grandkid, you know, this is who I am. This is what I am, right? And this is where we come from. Because it's just not feasible. And the Jewish people in Persia, right, of Hodu and Kush, Mordechai's Jewish people, Esther's Jewish people, they could have just said, I'm going to take my yarmulke, I'm going to throw it away, and I'll become a Persian, and I'll be okay. But they didn't. Why? They doubled down, and they said, no, we're Jews. We're Jews. Oh, you're going to kill us because we're Jews? We're in. We're in. And we're going to figure this out. We're going to daven, and we're going to come together as a community, and we're going to reaccept this whole thing upon us, ourselves, willingly, because we understand how important this is to our lives and to who we are. Right? What do you think? Like when I talk to my kids at bar mitzvah class or the girls at bat mitzvah class, I tell them, I say, guys, what do you think being a Jew is about? It's not about you. It's not about some stupid party you're going to have. No offense to parties. It's about becoming a part of the greater whole. It's about becoming a part of this great, incredible project of the Jewish people. That's what it is. That's why Israel is so important to us, right? Because Israel represents like, whoa, it's a Jewish state, it's the Jewish people. We connect to that. That's why a shul is so important. We connect to that. Think about where you'd be right now without a shul. Where I would be without a shul, I'd be without a job. But think about where you'd be with that, right? Where would you be without a shul? Like, to rally around, to connect to, like, what are you? Who are you? That's what it's saying. And that's why the Jewish people double down on their Judaism, even if it meant it would put their lives in danger, because that's important. O Tanis Onis Kibka, fine. V'yeshlomer Od, and he said, I'll give you one more answer. Sham Tehe Kvuraschen. There, your graves, right? Your graves will be here. I'll drop the mountain on your heads. Shalotizkuli Kanes Laretz Yisrael. Ki Huftechu Al Nachlas Goyim B'tnayim Yishmeru Chukav. He says, because there was basically an oath made that, oh, you'll inherit Israel if you act as Jews, if you keep the Torah, right? So then then you'll be able to drive the others out. V'nakat dafka ha-kvura, l'fi shemesei Eretz Yisrael chayin techila. V'amr lehem nim lo tekabu ha-Torah, az vaday ein lechem techias ha-mez mechel kulam ha-bab, etc. Ein chiluk being first Eretz Yisrael. Basically saying, look, you'll be buried outside Israel. Actually, it's interesting. Someone literally just called me today, a couple hours ago, and he said, I'm not an older, I'm not old, but like, you know, I guess, right? The shul sent out an email about burial plots and whatever. And he's like, I'm not going to go, God willing, for a really long time, but I think I want to be buried in Israel, he said. What do I do? How do I make that happen? Is that weird? You know, should I leave it to my kids to worry about? I said, no, you should do it. Of course you should do that, right? Again, after 120. But why? What's the difference between being buried outside of Israel versus inside? I mean, that's what Hashem is saying. Hashem is like, oh, your burials, you're going to be here. You're not going to have an Israel. You're not going to have a Jewish state. You're not going to have a Jewish people. You're just going to be some guy, some girl that's buried wherever, right? It's our whole national identity is bound up, not just in a place, but it's in a thing, in these values, in the Torah, right? In having it and accepting it and grabbing hold of it and transmitting it from generation to generation, right? And that's why it says, Sham tekvuraschem, right? Your grave will be here, right? Because you won't be able to get a grave in Israel, like I was able to say to this person. I'm going to do a little research. I know a good, you know, place to, you know, to hook you up there. But so I'm going to give you two more reasons, and we'll call it a night. Number one, notice it says, if you accept the Torah, great. If not, Sham tehei kvuratchem. What should it say? Sham means there will be your grave. What does it say on a dreidel? In, if you have a dreidel, right, in Israel, Jeff, good, awesome. It says, right, Nes Gadol Haya Po, not Haya Sham. Sham is in Israel. Po is right here. So it should say, Po take Muratchem. Here, I'm taking the mountain, I'm putting it over your head. If you accept Torah, great. If not, Po, right here, I'm going to drop it on your head, it'll be your grave. Why say Sham? Over there will be a grave. Very weird. Rabbi J.J. Schachter says something beautiful. He said, I'll tell you what it means. What it means is, I can't guarantee you right now, Hashem says, that you're not going to make it, or you're going to be assimilated, or you're going to just, you know, disintegrate, you know, into time, just like every other nation kind of, you know, washes away into time, right? The ancient Greeks and the ancient Romans and the Babylonians and the Spanish and the Turkish, Ottoman Turks, whoever, right? I can't guarantee that it won't happen right now, but Sham, at a certain point in history, if you don't have a unifying spiritual, religious, legal code of values, of mitzvot, forget it. There is no staying power to the Jewish people. Sham tekvuraschem. At that time in history, at some point, it'll be over for you guys, right? And that's why it says Sham. So you need to accept this now, because otherwise it's not going to bode well. There is no future for the Jewish people to be, you know, the oldest nation, you know, that we could trace our roots all the way back. Unbelievable. Okay. That's one last idea. Sorry. That's the second to last idea. I'll give you one more idea. So again, going back to the Kli Yakar gave a couple of answers. His first answer is, living life without Torah is a meaningless life. It's not a fulfilling life. It's as if you're dead, right? And that's what it means. And he extrapolates that to the time of Achashverosh and in Purim. That's why we re-accepted the Torah willingly, because we doubled down on being Jewish, even if it meant endangering our lives, because we realized finally how important it was to us. The other idea is Sham tekvuraschem. You'll be buried outside of it. There won't be any such sort of thing as a Jewish state, as a burial, a Jewish burial. No, you'd be anywhere like anyone else. It won't exist. There won't be an Israel to call home, a Medinat Yisrael, an Am Yisrael. You'll be somewhere, wherever. Third answer, Sham tekvuraschem. Not here, but sometime in the future. There will be the grave, you know, the grave of the Jewish people will be somewhere in the annals of history, because you won't survive. And Baruch Hashem, we have survived. We literally are survivors. And I'll give you one more answer. And that is a beautiful idea from the Maharal. That's Rabbi Yehuda Low. For those keeping track at home, Maharal is the one that when we talk about we talk about the golem, right? But here, this isn't a golem. This is just about this really interesting thing. And well, here's what he says. He says, may, sorry, Okay. He says, V'chein Hashem Yisbarach, Nag b'chibur zeh in Yisrael. This is what the Jewish, what Hashem did for the Jewish people. He says, when you have a marriage, and you go into a marriage, right? So, you know, the husband or the wife, they have to be willing, right? The husband has to be willing to marry her, and he has to give her the ring, and the woman has to be willing to accept the ring. He says, but there's another kind of relationship, which is like, you don't have a choice. You're literally stuck. Lo yuchal shalchaka, you're stuck. You don't have a choice in the matter. And you have to marry, so to speak. Cool, Adam, very nice. Very interesting idea. Wow. So he says that the same way with the Jewish people and Har Sinai. V'chein Hashem Yisbarach nag b'chibur zeh in Yisrael. Hachibur sha'asa haya hechrechi. Hashem was telling the Jewish people that it's very nice that you said na'aseh v'nishma, and we hugged each other, and we love each other, and we want to keep the Torah, and that's so wonderful and beautiful. But guess what? That's not the only reason why this marriage, why this relationship is being forged, is happening. You know why it's happening? Because it's hechrechi. It has to happen. Hashem literally forced them. Why? Because Hashem said, Hashem said that if you don't receive the Torah, the world will cease to exist. A Jew receiving the Torah is as natural to the world as the sun rising in the east and setting in the west. It's as natural to the world as, you know, when clouds come and the rains come, or it's literally a part. It's built into nature. It's built into the world construct that a Jew has to be connected to the Torah. That's what it means when Hashem took the mountain, put it over our heads and said, yeah, it's very nice that you want to do this. But even if you didn't, it's a part of you. It's inside of you. It's who you are. And if you don't accept it, so to speak, you're running away literally from who you are. It's hechrechi. It's something that has to happen, right? And something that always has to be. And that's why, you know, the ultimate response of a Jew, especially in the most difficult times, I'll close with this kind of mashal. Anyone watch Fauda here? Okay. You know, I won't be giving it away because this is like first season, okay? And there's this amazing scene in Fauda where Daron, the lead guy, undercover as an agent of Hamas, and he speaks, you know, perfect Arabic and so on and so forth. And basically, they find him out, and they take him to like an abandoned warehouse, and they take a gun, and the head terrorist takes a gun and puts a gun to his head and says, in Arabic, "Pray to your God." And he starts praying because, again, he's been living as a Muslim for the past several months, right? He's like living their lives, and he's living this lie, right, to keep it up for the Shin Bet, who he works for undercover. "Pray to your God." So he starts going, "Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar." And the guy says, "Pray to your God. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar." He goes, "Enough. Pray to your God." And Daron realizes, oh my God. And he's not a religious man, right? He's Jewish, but he's not religious at all. He's not observant. And he realizes that, like, this might be his last moment on earth. And the guy is literally, he realizes the jig is up. "Pray to your God," he says in Arabic. And what does Daron say? "Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad." And then all of a sudden, you know, the rescue team comes in and they shoot the terrorist and he's saved and so on. But that's the point. The point is, Judaism, Torah, is a part of who we are. And holding the mountain over our heads was Hashem's way of saying, as much as you might want to run away from it, you can't get away from who you are. You're a Jew. You have Torah, you're connected to Torah, you're connected to the Jewish community. Whether you feel it or not, it's there. And especially when the chips are down, look inward, find that, and accentuate it, and continue to move yourself and elevate yourself as a Jew that's connected to Torah, because in that we ultimately find the greatest and most meaningful fulfilling lives that we can possibly live. Shkoyach, everyone! Bevakasha.